Welcome to the Extended Sidebar, the bonus episode where we discuss things we found while writing up our regular episodes that we thought were too complex, too lengthy, or just too bizarre to include on our regular schedule.
Yes.
We have previously talked about hoaxes, cannibalism, other stuff.
Yeah.
And today I have a wonderful ghost ship story for you.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. Please. So do you remember when we did our episode on the Mary Celeste?
Yes.
That image of a ship floating all by itself in the middle of the ocean with no signs of violence and nobody aboard is one of the creepiest things I think I have ever heard of. And I think it's up there with the creepiest things that we've ever talked about.
It's a very evocative image. It's very ghost story.
Right. So I started kind of poking around at some other ghost ship stories. I read about the Flying Dutchman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I read about, oh, they're escaping my mind, those ships that were locked in the Arctic ice. And then sometimes they turn up years and years later floating in the Arctic Sea with nobody aboard.
You know, there's a whole episode of this great podcast called Relative Disasters about that. It's called Antarctic Ghost Ships. You should really check it out, Ella. It's a fun listen.
I mean, that was where I was going. You skipped a step.
Sorry.
I will forgive you.
Sorry.
That's okay. I think we just have a fascination with ghost stories, and ghost ships kind of fall into that same, what really happened?
Can I just put out a thing? The ocean is incredibly creepy. Can I just state that?
It absolutely is. It's another planet down there. We don't even know what's going on.
Right? I don't want any part of that. No, sir.
Okay. So we're going to talk about the Fortians a little bit later.
Oh, no.
And I think
the
ocean is just the perfect place for anyone who has any kind of a Fortian kind of leaning. Because there is just so much we do not understand about it. And it is just it's the perfect canvas for true spookiness.
Awesome.
That was a sidebar to my sidebar. Sorry.
I like it. I like it. No, we're all about it's just sidebars all the way down.
All the way down. 1.5 hours of solid sidebars. Mm-hmm. Today, Greg, I'm going to tell you the story of the spookiest ghost ship of all.
Okay.
The Orang Medan. Have you heard of this ship?
I have not.
Yes.
I know nothing about this. Okay.
I was hoping you had not. Okay. So I'm going to start by telling you what happened.
Okay.
As was reported in the newspapers in 1948.
Okay.
Okay. The Orang Medan was a Dutch merchant ship, and it was heading into the Pacific Ocean from a Chinese port. This was in either 1948 or 1950.
Okay.
Now, it was carrying a load of something dangerous.
Uh-oh.
We're not sure quite what it was, but it was probably something like either nerve gas or sulfuric acid.
Yeah.
This was a cargo that was not registered or insured, so there are very few records.
Okay.
Could have been anything. Somewhere in the Pacific, something deadly happened aboard the Orang Medan.
Okay.
So the first pieces of the story, as they are reported in the newspaper, they're hearsay.
Okay.
So we have a single survivor, and he's drifted for weeks in a lifeboat before washing up on Tangi Atoll, which is one of the very, very smallest islands in the Marshall Chain, and I think Micronesia.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Please.
It's a tiny, tiny island in the middle of the huge Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
And it's near some other tiny, tiny islands, but even for the Marshall Chain, Taiangi is extremely small and extremely isolated.
Okay.
As he washes up in this lifeboat, the single survivor tells the island's natives and an Italian missionary that he had been a sailor on the Orang Medan.
Okay.
And at some point in the voyage, we're given to understand this may have happened anywhere between the coast of an unnamed port, the coast of China.
Yep.
And the extreme middle of the Pacific.
Okay.
One of the containers of their unnamed cargo broke open.
Sure.
Now, the survivor did not know what was in this container, but poisonous fumes overtook and killed the ship's crew in a matter of moments.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he only survived because he scrambled overboard and rowed away in the ship's lifeboat, holding his breath and rowing as fast as he could. So his last sight of the Orang Medan was an abandoned death ship drifting aimlessly in the empty waters of the Pacific. I don't know if there's a spookier image out there.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Okay.
It's pretty scary.
Yep.
Having delivered this terrifying tale, the man dies.
Ah. Okay.
Yes. He's buried on the atoll, and some years later, the Italian missionary, who is still troubled over the sailor's story, mm-hmm. as you would be.
Right, yes.
He tells it to a man he knows named Silvio Shirley, a native of Trieste. Okay. And Silvio Shirley, in turn, relays it to a newspaper in Indonesia. From okay. there, the Associated Press picked it up, and it was kind of a flurry of small items in the British and American papers.
Okay.
Years later, the story seems to solidify when American newspapers report on a mysterious wartime incident in the Straits of Malacca. That's the narrow channel running between Sumatra and the Malay Peninsula.
Okay.
Now, this item appears in a Dutch newspaper that is printed, I believe, in Indonesia.
Okay.
So while navigating the straits, an American freighter, the SS Silver Star, mm-hmm. she picks up a distress signal in the middle of the night, and this is by telegraph.
Okay. I'm freaking out.
Yeah, it's spooky. You're going to freak out a lot when you hear this.
Okay.
So transmitted in Morse code, the message read, quote, SOS from the Orang Medan.
Nope.
We
nope.
float.
Nope. Nope.
All officers, including the captain, dead in chart room and on the bridge. Probably whole of crew dead. End quote. After a few lines of undecipherable code, the message ended with, quote, I die, end quote.
Nope.
American ships are helpers.
Yeah. We do.
So the Silver Star rushes to aid the Orang Medan. The sailors on the Silver Star
yep.
find it undamaged, but it's drifting aimlessly in these heavy seas. So okay. when they go aboard, the Americans find that the Orang Medan is a death ship. There are bodies everywhere. They're lying on the deck. They're lying on the cabins. They're in the hold. Each person has no visible injuries, but they're okay. all looking up, and they all have a look of indescribable horror on their faces.
Nope.
They even find the radio operator, who is dead next to his telegraph. He still has his headphones on and his fingers on the key.
Okay.
They find a dead dog, again, without injuries, but with bared teeth and staring eyes. There are no signs of violence. There's no blood. It's not yeah. gory.
Okay.
It's just as though everyone on the ship looked up and saw something so horrible, they dropped dead.
I don't like any of this.
No, it's terrible.
No, this is bad.
So the Silver Star was preparing to place the Orang Medan under tow to get it back to port so somebody could look at it and find out what happened.
Mm-hmm.
When a fire broke out in the cargo hold. Now, the Americans were not able to determine what was in there. And
right.
better safe than sorry.
They got
They
out.
Watch from a safe distance as the Orang Medan explodes and sinks without a trace.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I hate all of this. This is terrifying.
It's a real...
yeah.
It's a real nightmare. You may have noticed this information is a little scanty.
Yeah.
But at least one newspaper, the Dutch newspaper that printed this whole story and included photographs. There are okay. two photographs that accompany this story. So these reporters who wrote that paper reveal that the story comes straight from an eyewitness. And the eyewitness's name is Mr. Silvio Shirley of Trieste.
Okay.
So... some more articles appear in various European papers, and each one kind of extrapolates on this story that it appeared in the Dutch newspaper. So the site of this discovery moves from the Straits of Malacca to the open waters of the Pacific.
Uh-huh.
The dates shift
yeah.
between 1947 and 1950
yeah.
as time moves on. This is always presented as a breaking story.
Right, right. Okay.
And the cargo is speculated to be sulfuric acid, cyanide, nerve agents, nitroglycerin, which would have explained
that
the
would
explosion.
Explode. Yeah.
Right. Some versions of the story, this is where the Fortians get involved,
mm-hmm.
they place blame for the incident with the mysterious forces associated with the Bermuda Triangle.
Nah. Okay.
You know, aliens.
Like you do. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Portals, aliens.
Right. Sure.
Intriguingly, Greg, yeah, the most definitive account of the story was published decades later in 1959. It appeared, well, okay, it was published a decade later.
Mm-hmm.
And it appeared in a Trieste magazine called Export Trade.
Okay.
A big seller. And it was authored by, you are not going to believe this.
Uh-huh.
It's our old friend, Silvio Shirley.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yep. Yep.
So in the 1950s, a bunch of reporters get interested in this story, and they start to dig a little deeper, and they soon uncover a glaring problem with the story of the Orang Medan.
That Silvio made the whole thing up.
The problem is that no commercial vessel of that name had ever been registered with any shipping registry in the world.
You know, it's always the little details that you slip up on, you know?
I kind of assumed that you could have a ship.
Yeah.
And like fly under the radar at this time, but that is not true.
No, not at all.
If you have a commercial vessel, it is registered somewhere with somebody.
Yep.
And the Orang Medan is just not.
Okay.
Not with that name, not with the anglicized name. There is nothing even close to this ship that exists in any commercial shipping registry.
Okay. Okay.
But we have another ship involved. Remember the Silver Star?
Right, right.
So there is an American freighter called the Silver Star, or actually it's called the Silver Star Park.
Okay.
However, it was nowhere near the Pacific during the 3 years between its launching and its renaming.
See, it's again, it's the little details.
But wait, we have another name.
Okay.
Remember Taiangi Atoll in the Marshall Islands?
Right, yep.
That's a real place. That's a real island.
Yeah.
It's uninhabitable. There's no fresh water.
And there's certainly no people natives living there.
Nobody lives there, and there's no Italian missionary who would have been there because there are no people to minister to.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Man.
So even if the castaway did indeed wash up there, he probably died of thirst shortly afterwards with nobody to tell his story to.
Well, he would have also have had to have come from a ship that didn't exist.
Sure.
It's a very hard thing to do, Ella. I'm not sure if you've ever been out on the ocean, but you do sometimes require a ship.
That is not very Fortean of you, Greg.
I'm sorry. My apologies, Charles Fort.
So, given this array of dead ends, lack of corroborating evidence, the dates that shift around, that makes me really, really suspicious.
The one guy who keeps relaying the same story? Yep.
Ah, but wait.
Ah, okay.
Silvio Shirley is a real person.
Sure.
So genealogical records indicate that a man of that name was born in 1901 in, guess where? Trieste.
Trieste. Yeah.
He had a long life. He was very well traveled. He was definitely a journalist.
Okay.
So his known published stories revolve around the Orang Medan and, oddly, lung cancer. He wrote about lung cancer.
Huh. Okay.
He was possibly a sailor as well.
Okay.
He traveled a lot. There are very few details. But he was definitely a real person.
Okay.
And his name is the one name that is consistently tied to this story.
Right.
However, there's no indication why he would make up, embellish, and rewrite such a story. Because a version of this story, Greg, appears in 1940.
Oh.
He's writing an Associated Press article about the Orang Medan. Same details.
Okay.
Not quite as graphic. No photographs. But he's selling it to the Associated Press, and it gets printed in America and Britain in 1940.
So in other words,
which, let me remind you, is 7 years before.
Before the Orang Medan is found by the Silver Star, yeah.
Exactly.
No, that's impressive. So, I mean, there's the mundane solution where he made up a good story, found out that he could sell it to the AP, and, you know, that was that. Or, he's a time traveler who went back to set right what once went wrong and stopped the whole mess from ever happening in the first place. Did you ever think of that, Ella? Did you?
I think he made it happen twice, Greg. Cynical... I think he really screwed up with the time travel.
Okay, yeah. Because he saved him in 1940, but then he had to come back in 50 to save him again.
I'm just saying, you could really spin this into a very impressive episode of The X-Files if you try hard enough.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think call us, executives in charge of The X-Files, whoever that is now.
Sure.
Don't
call
don't
us from
call
1997.
Us. Yes, call us from.
We'd be happy to take your call.
Yeah.
So the thing is,
yeah,
a story like this really sticks with you, and certain people throughout the 50 or 60 or 70 years since this has happened do really want to see a grain of truth in that. And there are ships that flew under the radar. There are wartime exercises that were not always explained to the public.
Right, right.
I can maybe think that there are ships that were floating around under false names because they were needed for some clandestine
thing. Sure.
Espionage project or something. Yeah.
Transporting of dangerous materials off the books.
So as early as the 1950s, Fortean writers were posing alternate theories about the Orang Medan.
Okay.
And we've got carbon monoxide poisoning.
Sure.
That was a big one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Ghosts.
I mean.
Attacking.
The evidence presented seems to fit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Even the dog.
Even the dog.
Right? We've also got CIA cover-ups, because if one group in the world is known for big, messy stories that don't make sense, it's definitely the CIA.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Alien visitations is the other big one.
Sure.
Right.
I mean.
And there's a big cover-up over the evidence, and people are just trying to make it look fake.
Sure.
I was expecting a hole in the space-time continuum theory.
Huh.
Because that is where my mind went, but that's the one thing I did not come across.
Well, obviously, you need to write a newspaper article dated 1954. And
maybe.
And yeah. I think that's the solution here.
But yeah, that's the story.
That's crazy.
Leo Shirley did not write any fiction, as far as I could find. He did not make any money from this story.
Okay.
There's no evidence about where he got his photographs from, because they are very evocative and creepy photographs.
Okay.
There is just no more to this story. It's like a donut. There's no heart, and it just goes around and around forever.
I mean,
you wouldn't want to eat it because it's haunted.
Right.
But
right. It is very haunted. I mean, I like the fact that it's such a good story, right?
It's like a great story.
It's a great story. The fact that it never happened is fine, but the story is really good. I dig it. I think that's fun.
I think if you look at it as an urban legend instead of a...
It's definitely,
a piece of, like, false, irresponsible reporting.
Right,
To watch it evolve from the 1940 version through the 1959 version, it's really, it's a wild ride. And I think what Silvio Shirley was thinking as he was publishing these different versions was that he would never get found out, because who keeps the newspaper? Like, there was no way to index newspapers back then.
Sure.
But of course, now we have... What is that thing you do to PDFs to make them... searchable?
Archives?
No, I know the word because I've done it. OCR.
Yeah.
I don't know what that stands for. Sorry. But I can't think of it.
Yeah.
My point is that we can search in ways that we haven't been able to search
to
in
before.
Ways that would have been unimaginable to someone writing in the 1950s. So we have all these different versions. Like, we have access to the different versions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a weird mélange. And it's a very strange story. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I especially like it knowing that nobody got hurt.
Yeah. And knowing that he didn't, like, I don't know, make some creepy profit off of it helps.
Not that I could find. He is certainly not known as a best-selling author. Like, I don't think he ever made that much money off this story. I'm sure the Associated Press paid him a little bit, but
yeah. Okay.
I think he just wanted to tell an amazing story.
I honestly don't attach any more meaning to it than that. Dude wanted a story. I dig it.
So that is the creepy story of the Orang Medan, the best of all possible ghost ships, because nobody actually died.
I love it.
This has been your extended sidebar. We hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back for another one really soon.